are able and willing, would you please stand and greet someone around you?
Oh, Lord, our God. before we go to the next song, I just wanted to share a little bit about my thoughts, I guess, in picking songs out for today. I have been sharing the Easter story with my kids, and it has really changed the way that I look at Easter, just to hear them tell me the story and to get to the end and say, he's not here, he's alive. And so it's just really made me think. And so as I picked out songs, I wanted songs that told the story of Easter, the story of what happened. And then God convicted me and said, that's all great, but it needs a response. If you know the story but don't do anything about it, then you've missed the point. So the next song might be newer. We've sung it before, but it still might be new. And I just had to sing it because of the power of the words. The chorus says, my sin is nailed to the cross. My soul is healed by the scars. The weight of guilt I bear no more. Praise the Lord. And verse 3 says, when I stand before the throne at last, his blood will plead my innocence. And I will worship him with holy hands and raise the song that never ends of Jesus Christ, my righteousness. So let's sing Nailed to the Cross.
My soul is filled by Morning, and I had to think, you know, some Easter mornings we gather and it's 60 or 70 degrees out. Some Easter mornings we've gathered here with a foot or two of snow, but regardless, it's a beautiful morning. It's a beautiful morning, not because of the weather, but because of what Jesus has done for us. Amen. Rose from the grave, conquered sin and death. We can sing, we can be full of joy. We know that we have life eternal because of what he's done for us. I want to welcome you here today. Whether you come here each and every Sunday morning, you're here for the first time visiting, we welcome you. Glad that you're here with us. And we just want to spend time worshiping our God for what he's done for us. Let's pray this morning, shall we? Father, this morning as we again just come into your presence, we are so grateful for what you have done for us on Calvary's cross. And Lord, to just even partially think about the pain, the suffering, the agony that you went through for us in our place. It was us, Jesus, who deserved to be on that cross. It was us, Jesus, who deserved to have the Father turn his face away from us. It was us, Jesus, whose blood was required or should have been required for the guilt of our sins. And yet, Jesus, your word tells us that you loved us so much that you came. You came to die on Calvary's cross, not for your sins, not for your wrongs, not for yourself, but for us. You loved us that much. And Father, we rejoice here today that even though your body was killed, it was crucified, it was placed in a grave, Lord, by the power of your Father, God, you were raised from the dead, and you live eternally. You live in heaven, you live in our hearts, and Lord, one of these days you're going to return. You're going to take us, your bride, back to heaven with you. And Father, we look forward to that day. But until that day comes, Father, we want to continue to worship you and praise you and share that joyful good news that you are alive. You're a living Savior. And you want to have a relationship with each and every one of us. So God, we gather here today to worship you and to praise you and just to be drawn in and by your love. May we continue to sense that as we go through our service here today. We pray that in Christ's name, amen. Now for centuries, and we did this at the sunrise service this morning, for centuries as believers gathered together on this morning, the leader of the service would say, "The Lord is risen," and those that were there would reply with, "The Lord is risen indeed." And I think it would be fitting to do that again this morning. So the Lord is risen. Amen. And that's why we gather here this morning. We serve a risen Savior. I'm going to ask our chorister to come lead us in our congregational singing this morning. And as he's coming, I think the breakfast people who served us that this morning, they deserve a hand. So give them a hand. I think they're probably still cleaning up. Thank you. I'll ask our chorister to come lead us in our congregational singing.
Domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose.
I thought I was going to have a little more time to practice my tone change there before I came up, so sorry about that. Why don't you all turn with me to your midnight hymnal to song number 175. Song number 175. Lift your glad voices.
Lift your glad voices in triumph on high, for Jesus hath risen and man shall not die. Vain were the terrors that gathered around him, and short the dominion of death and the grave. He burst from the fetters of darkness that bound him, resplendent in glory and live and to save. Loud were the chorus of angels on high, the Savior hath risen and man shall not die. Glory to God in full anthems of joy, the being he gave us death cannot destroy. Sad were the life we may part with tomorrow, if tears were our birthright and death were our end. But Jesus hath cheered the dark valley of sorrow and bade us immortal to heaven ascend. Lift then your voices on triumph on high, for Jesus hath risen and man shall not die.
And turn with me to number 15 in the Maronite hymnal as well. It's number 15, O Worship the King.
Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Oh, gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, provisioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of his might, oh, sing of his grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space, his chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Oh, bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the night. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Thank you.
Jesus. Father, this morning we thank you. We thank you for the hope. We thank you for the joy. We thank you for your word. And God, we thank you for the message that you've given to Brother Nelson this morning. And Lord, as he shares that message, your message, we would receive it as your message.
Yes,
put it into practice in our hearts and our lives. Be encouraged, be challenged, but Lord, to be drawn closer to you. So bless him, fill him with your spirit as he shares with us here this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Myron. Praise the Lord. At the church, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Wow, what a blessing to come be with you here at Naumburg this morning, and it's really different to come here and not see white everywhere. Now, I have with me my 12-year-old grandson, And Sarah and I have 16 grandchildren. And by the way, giving you greetings from Sarah. I know she's praying for us. Next month, it'll be 51 years of marriage by the grace of God. And my grandson, the first time to be flying, I'm preparing him for Africa, preparing him for the big trip. So I told him, this is just real short compared to going to Uganda. But I want you to meet my grandson, Jeremiah. Stand and face the people and give a wave at him, if you would. Yeah, welcome my grandson. You can see the resemblance. That's, he and I have a lot of fun together, and I'm so happy that he can come and be with me for this time here. And he's looking forward to being on the kennel farm and having a little time there, too. I won't make him ride around all day to go visit farmers, but I just, Megan's son, by the way, our daughter Megan's son, Jeremiah, and she has three. She also has a nine-year-old and a six-year-old. And so I'm so happy to have him with us. Gerald's taking care of him, and we've already been out and feeding him and all that. And I said, by the way, something you'll notice between Grandpa and Jeremiah, that we're quite opposite, you know. He's very, very shy, and I'm not as shy, but anyhow. And so, but that's the way God creates us, you know. But he enjoys playing football and playing baseball and basketball, and for the first time, he is into soccer. And so he has his first soccer practices, and I told him that's in Africa, that is the game, football. They call it football over in Africa, but it's really soccer. But he is enjoying that. But I just want to say again what a blessing to come and to be here. When I call, you know, Myron, and used to call Titus, and you say, hey, coming up that way, is there a possibility? And, you know, for Easter Sunday morning, Myron, what an honor, what a privilege to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, any better time than really, than Easter Sunday morning? The church say amen? What a blessing. And I appreciate the leadership team giving me the opportunity to come and to share. And I heard that in the sunrise service, how many of you were here at 7 o'clock? Wow, bless your heart. And then have the fellowship together and Brother Titus bringing the Word of God. What a blessing to be able to come. Here in Lewis County, always a special place for us to be able to come and to worship with you. A lot of precious memories from the tent meetings here. And by the way, and Brother Dave Miller said, be sure to give greetings. He said, you'll probably forget. I don't know, does he know something about me or what, Myron? You know, I'm getting older. But so somebody, at least somebody, text Dave and said, Nelson actually said hi from Dave. I wish there'd be about 50 doing that, you know, and load him up. But anyhow, I love him so much, him and Ruth Ann, and their family is so absolutely special. And their oldest son, Derek, was with me on the last trip to Uganda. And what a leader. He's full-time with the ministry and so forth. Eugene, the second born of the boys, he's full-time now at our home church, full-time in the worship, leading the worship teams. And helping it like that, but just wanna again say I really appreciate opportunity. I will be running over, Lord willing, going over to Krogan, and then. But for the farmers here, I just want to thank you all. You have really made an impact. The Bible Course Ministry is growing so fast right now. The Book of Ephesians is just ready to be printed. Arlen Schrock, as some of you know from down in Alabama, is the one who again authored the Bible study course, and people have been waiting for a long time for the second Bible study, and it's just about ready to go to the printers. And so all the proceeds that come in from the cattle or cash, whatever's donated, all goes toward the printed materials. And that's we've been doing it for a number of years. And so God bless you so much. I'm saying all that because when I'm done, I wish I could, be here. And I guess it's a choice that I made to be able to go over and be at Krogan then following this. But this morning, I'd like to share again on none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have no idea. I didn't ask Titus or anybody else what was ministered on here this morning. But you can never lift up Jesus high enough. I will draw all people unto myself. If you turn to Matthew 27, I'd like to look a bit at some verses, and then we have a PowerPoint that I'd like to share and look at the seven sayings from the cross this morning very quickly. And as we look at these and make some parallels, comments about the things that Jesus said, and how can we apply that to our own lives as we walk through this life here together. And so as we share that, and I'm just going to go down over some verses in Matthew 27. But my friend, this morning, I want to encourage us that we never get over Calvary, that we never get over the preciousness of the blood of Jesus Christ, of Jesus going to the cross and giving his life a ransom for you and for me. We never get over it. In other words, it always remains that joy, that fervor in our heart, that gratitude of thankfulness to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to our Heavenly Father who sent his Son, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not what? But have everlasting life. To never get over that, the verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him may be what? Saved. Are you saved this morning? Are you born again this morning? Is Jesus Christ living in your heart? Most of the world believes that there's a God, but not so many believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a relationship with him? Now this morning, I want to look here about what was happening here in Matthew chapter 27. And I'm just going to go very rapidly. In verse 26, it talks about how Jesus was delivered. In Matthew 27, verse 26, if you have your Bible or whatever you're looking on. And it says how Jesus was delivered to be crucified. In verse 28, it says they stripped him and they put on the scarlet robe on Jesus Christ. In verse 29, it says they made a crown of thorns that they put upon his head. Now, I want us just to try to imagine. We cannot really. You know, I see the photos up here of how we try to portray, and you're going to see some photos in a little bit that we're going to show that some are maybe a bit graphic, but I want us to understand as much as we can the price that was paid at Calvary for your sins and for mine. He was God, but yet he was man. So he felt pain like you and I feel pain. Jesus felt the pain just like you and I. Said, well, because he was Christ, he would not. No. He felt all the pain and the agony that you and I would feel if we'd have went through this very thing. But it says there in verse 29, they made the crown of thorns. Verse 30, they spit on him, they beat him on the head with a reed. In fact, in Isaiah 50, verse 6, it says, and in chapter 52 and in chapter 50, one place says that he turned his back for them to beat him. Another verse in verse chapter 50, verse 6, it says, and he gave his beard and they plucked out the hairs on his face. Now, I cannot imagine what would that be like. If somebody would come, I don't know how much beard he had, but somebody, and they just ripped the hair right off of his face. Isaiah 50, verse 6 declares that. The agony, the suffering that our Savior went through to pay the price, that you and I could sit here this morning and be redeemed by his precious blood, have our name written in the book of life, and be able to know that when we leave this world, this earth, we can go to be with Jesus Christ. Can we give Jesus a clap offering of praise this morning? I mean, we clap at earthly things, at different things, you know, but he gave us emotions to cry, to laugh, to weep, to clap. He gave us emotions. They can be used here for earthly, but also for the heavenly. And then it says in verse 35, they took Jesus to crucify him. Verse 39 to 43, the chief priests and scribes, the elders, they insulted him. They mocked him. And then we come to the place that I want to begin with, and where Jesus was in the garden. If you could turn with me. And by the way, I appreciate so much Josh and Philip and those that are running the sound for us and working on these things for us. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you so very, very much. But then we'll go to the first slide. I'll just say next. So here was Jesus in the garden. The Bible says he was in the garden before going to the cross. And there in that garden, it says they prayed earnestly, like great sweat was like it were drops of blood falling down to the ground. And he went on to say, he said, Father, would you let this cup pass from? Not once, not twice, but three times. Jesus didn't know what it would feel like to have nails in his hands and feet. He didn't know what it would feel like to have that crown of thorns upon his head. He did not know what it was going to feel like to become sin for us. He that knew no sin so that we could be made the righteousness of God. I think the most agonizing in that cup that he was wondering what's going to happen is when the sin of the world would be put upon Jesus Christ. In fact, it says in Isaiah, it says there that he made his soul an offering for sin and it pleased God. We'll hear a little more what happened there then on the cross. But here in the garden where he's praying earnestly before going to the cross and then moving ahead. And by the way, Jesus had become totally broken. His head was broken. His face was broken where they had struck him. And then when they're going to put the nails in his hands and feet and so forth, all of these things that Jesus Christ went through. And then the first thing from the cross, the first saying that Jesus said from the cross, when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted the raiment and they cast lots. My friend, from the cross, in the greatest agony that you and I don't even, we can't even understand, Jesus reached out to others. In his greatest pain, his greatest sorrow, he was not thinking of himself. That has really, really been a challenge to me. When I'm going through difficulty and challenges and things are not going right, or I've been mistreated, or maybe falsely accused or rejected, whatever it may be, ridicule, whatever it is, can I still be reaching out to others? With the greatest pain, he was thinking of other people. And here he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them." I want to encourage us this morning, everything that he said, it has something for us to teach us today. Forgiveness. Do we forgive others? Forgiveness. Calvary forgiveness. This is what this is all about. That Jesus is looking down and he's saying, "Father, forgive them. They don't realize what they're doing." Why did he forgive them? Because it's the nature of Christ to forgive. Why did he forgive them? He wanted to see those in heaven, the very ones that nailed him to the cross and mocked and made fun of him. He wanted to see them in heaven. Do you want to see everybody in heaven? Even people that have wronged you and people that have mistreated us, rejected us? Do you want to see them in heaven? Can we forgive? Can we forgive them? Forgiveness. From the cross, "Father, forgive them." Just enough to be nailed there by his hands and his feet. But then yet on top of that, to start speaking. And what it took in their lungs to be able to even talk. But forgiveness was on his heart. Forgiveness was on his mind when he looked down at them. And by the way, those nails in his hands and feet, those hands that had broken the bread, that had given the bread and the fishes, those hands that touched the blind man, those hands that healed the lepers, those hands that held children, those hands were not nailed. Did you see the nails here? We're not nailed to that cross. But forgiveness. Is there someone this morning that God is speaking to you about? You've held out on him and have not chosen to forgive. This was on the mind of Jesus Christ. Forgive them. Forgive them. Is the Lord asking you that somebody needs to show mercy? Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers." And see, Matthew 5, verse 9, "For they shall be called the," anybody know? "Children of God." Folks, how many of us want to be called the children of God? Come on, raise your hand. He said, if you're going to be called one of my children, you'll be a peacemaker. You see, whenever there is a division, somebody pays the price of bringing the two together. You and I were born in sin, separated from God. This is Christ on the cross, bringing sinful man together with holy God. Jesus is paying the price to bring you and I together with God. It says, Bible says in Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5, 21, "He," God, "made him sin," made Jesus to become sin, "who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ." I can't fathom that. He said, "I'm making Jesus to become a sin for you, so that you and I can become righteous." That was the exchange at the cross. So that I could be declared righteous. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his oh, glory. Hallelujah. Forgiveness. There are people that need to be forgiven. Let's move on to the next one. And then the thief on the cross. when he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And by the way, when he said this, and the next scripture says, Jesus said to him, today thou shalt be with me, where? In paradise. I mean, here's a thief on one side and a thief on the other side, both criminals, both committed crimes. Both are hanging there to die. And the Savior's in the middle. Now I want you to picture with me this morning. These thieves were listening, but the one thief was really listening to the words of Jesus Christ. Because all of a sudden, the one thief is looking at Jesus. He said, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Save yourself and save us. He was mocking and making fun of Jesus. The other thief looked over at him and said, why are you doing this? You and I are receiving our punishment because we're criminals. We've done wrong. But this man here, he's never done anything wrong. Then he said, Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? He heard when Jesus said to those in front of him, Father, forgive them. And I think this thief was like, are you kidding? Maybe there's hope for me. Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus looks at him. I don't know how it all happened, but he said, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Can the church say amen? Oh, hallelujah. I don't know how this man felt on the other side, but both of them were the same distance, I believe, from Jesus Christ. Both of them had the opportunity to come to Jesus, but one made the choice and humbled himself. The other was a proud man. How far are you from Jesus? They were the same distance. They had the same opportunity. One denied him and mocked. Can you imagine how this thief felt when Jesus turned to the other one and said, today you're going to be with me. Was he still too proud to say me too? Lord, remember me too. Now, did Jesus take him and physically take that thief when he died and took him? No, but his spirit, just like we'll see in a little bit. When he died, his spirit left and went to be in paradise. Hallelujah. But there, salvation. Hey, I want to share really quickly a story that is really fresh salvation on my mind. It's a man with name Muhammad. In the month of January, over in Africa with a group. By the way, are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? And there was they call them Boda Bodas. They're motorbikes, and that's the mode of transportation. They don't use taxi cars, they use Boda Bodas, motorbikes. Thousands of them, and they take people everywhere. I've been on them. But anyhow, this Boda Boda driver, he comes to the guest house where I was at, and he brings our nurse, and he brings medicine. And when he comes, I say to my head nurse, Richard, I said, the Boda Boda is still out here. He said, he's waiting, then he's going to take me. Make a longer story short, I went outside about 20 minutes, started talking to this man. He said his name was Muhammad, and I said, oh, okay, well, you know what? I want to just tell you that Jesus Christ loves you, and I began to share with him a little bit. And about that time, the head nurse, he said, Daddy Nelson, he's a Muslim. And I said, Jesus loves you. What's his name? Muhammad. Jesus loves you, Muhammad. He loves you so much, and he wants me to tell you, and I got a steps to peace with God, and I began to show him the pictures in there and stuff, and when I got to the blood of Jesus, he stopped me through the interpretation of my nurse, and he said, he's asking more about the blood. What about that blood? And I told him it was the blood that when they put the spear in his side, it was the blood that came out, and without the shedding of blood, there needs to be blood to forgive us for our sins. And it was that precious blood that Jesus shed there on the cross. Began to share more with him. Then all of a sudden, the nurse said to me, oh, he's telling me that his wife is a Christian and she's been praying for him. I said, that's amazing. My wife was a Christian before I was saved and she was praying for me. And then the man had a smile on his face. And then we began to share more about Jesus. And all of a sudden, the man told my nurse, he said, I want to pray right now. I want this Jesus. I want him. I mean, this is about 30 minutes of time. And he said, could we kneel? And here we are. Our group came back from somewhere right at that time, and somebody took the photo, or else it wouldn't be here, of course. And somebody grabbed the photo. I was there on my knees praying, leading this man to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Could we give glory to God this morning? Hey. There's nothing greater.
The greatest thing that'll ever happen is when you and I get saved, when you and I get born again, when you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest thing that'll ever happen. The next is to help someone else. Hello? The next is helping someone else come to Jesus Christ. So he prayed, received the Lord, got up, and he just hugged me and so forth. And then I gave him, here's the hat, by the way, somebody, why is that hat up there? And then I like to give these hats away. Tomorrow, farmers will be getting them, but somebody blesses us with these hats. It says, I'm blessed, Ephesians 1:3. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings, heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Anyhow, so I said, here, I want to give you this hat. And he proudly put it on his head. And he left there. And a couple of days later, I get the news. They said, oh, when he went and his Muslim owner, when the Muslim owner saw the hat, he said to him, do you believe that? And he said, yes, I do. He said, you became a Christian? He said, yes, I did. He said, give me the keys. Because no Christian will drive for me. And he took the Boda, put the motorbike away from him. And by the way, let's see the next picture. And then those of the group that were there, we went out and we got another Boda for him. By the way, his wife Bridget, he has a 6-year-old daughter also, and his wife Bridget, and he was so excited. I'm just shortening this, but anyhow, and a couple days later, before I left to come back home, he came to me to the guest house and he said, Mr. Nelson, he said, my name is Muhammad, but as a Christian, I need a new name. Well, just 2.5 weeks before that, my 98-year-old dad had his home going. I love my dad so much. We had a very close relationship by the grace of God. His name was Emmanuel. And as he said, I need a new name, I said, it'll be Emmanuel. I said, that's my dad. My dad, he just passed away. Your new name will be Emmanuel. Last Sunday evening in Uganda. Yeah, I just came home, by the way, and changed clothes and got my grandson and came to New York. But anyhow, so the next. Then we got another place to live because he was living with his Muslim family. His Muslim family began to turn on him, got him some food. And then last Sunday night, a week ago this evening, I had the opportunity. I was living for about 6 days in Uganda. Had the opportunity, let's share the next one. I don't know if we can play the video clip or not, but here we go. I was looking forward to this. I had the opportunity of taking him to Lake Victoria. I don't know if we can play it or not. It's about a 45-second clip. But there in Lake Victoria, we baptized him. And it may not play. I asked my secretary, could she put it in here? But there we are. We went in the water. We baptized. He came up, and he was just shouting and shouting for Jesus. 6 of his Muslim friends were on the shore watching. 2 of them, whom were done baptizing, said, could we also be baptized? We said, first you need to know Jesus Christ. The next photo, we're back at his place, and back at his place, we came to his little, very little abode. And when we got there, a number of others gathered, including his Roman Catholic landlord. And when he sat there, Emmanuel, and was giving his testimony of how Jesus Christ came into his life, his Catholic landlord said, I need Jesus Christ. I'm a widow. I have 4 children. My life is hopeless. I need Jesus. And there, in that little setting, the woman on the left with the yellow gave her life to Jesus Christ. Isn't Jesus amazing? Hallelujah! Hey, you never know what's going to happen. It's a chain of events. But I thank Jesus Christ for the power of the Holy Spirit, that he draws us to him and he saves us. Let's go to the next one. There also Jesus was concerned on the cross. He was concerned about relationships and reunion. There from the cross where he said, when Jesus saw his mother standing by, and he said, to his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, to John, behold thy mother. From that time, he took care of him. Jesus from the cross, he was concerned about the welfare of others. He was concerned about mama. John, take care of mom. I'm going home. Take care of mom, mother. Take care of her. Do we care about others who are going through difficulty? When we're our own life, there's challenges, heavy things we're facing, but we care about relationships. We care about others. We don't forget about others during those times of relationships. Then the next one. The next one, then from the cross. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, Lama. And he goes on to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe it was at this moment. Think with me. I believe it was at this moment when Jesus became sin, when all of a sudden his soul became an offering for our sins, where the load of our sins, the impact of our sins was so heavy on him. He felt forsaken. He felt forgotten, rejected. My God, why have you forsaken me? He had no idea what it was going to be like to become sin for us. I believe it was at that moment. I could be wrong. But at that moment where the sin of all the world was poured out upon Jesus Christ. And he was felt so forsaken, so lonely. My God, why have you forsaken me? You ever felt forsaken? Rejected? Misused? Abused? Turned away? Every one of us have felt the sting of rejection. In one way or another, in our life, we've all felt something. But what we do with that, to react or respond, but if we respond to it and we draw nigh to Jesus, draw nigh to God, there's a lot of things he could have done at this moment. He could have been set free. The Bible says by legions of angels, but he didn't choose to do that. Instead, he was willing to go through with that for you and for me. That this morning here at Naumburg, we could declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That he did die on that cross. That he was bruised and wounded for our transgressions. Chastised for our iniquity. By his stripes we are healed. Hast thou forsaken me? And then the next one. He said, I thirst. Let's go to the next slide. And then from the cross, Jesus, after Jesus knowing that all things were accomplished, the scripture might be fulfilled in John 19, 28, he said, I thirst. I had to think this morning way over about being thirsty. Are you thirsty? I'm going to use this analogy. Are you thirsty for Jesus Christ? He was thirsty as a human. Have you ever been so thirsty that your mouth just, you know, if I could just get a drink of water. By the way, we take water so much for granted. And I want to thank you all for helping to do water wells over in Africa. On the last trip, or the January trip, when a youth group was there, we went out and watched them to start drilling a well, and then we went to another place where the water came for the first time, and the villagers gathered around for the first time. The pump was installed, and the pump was going, and the villagers were all around. Then when the water started coming, woo, they started dancing and screaming and just like, ah! It's like Jesus has, they literally will say, Jesus has come when water comes to a village. I have a cup here. I'm drinking good, clean water. All Jesus wanted was one. I just want a little drink of water. They were giving him vinegar and then he turned it away. But are you thirsty for Jesus? I'm going to use that this morning. Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you thirsty for Jesus Christ? Thirst for Jesus. A thirst to know him more. A thirst after the Lord Jesus Christ. A deeper relationship with him. Do you hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ? And when it comes to worship, to prayer this morning, worship team, God bless you so much. God bless you. These songs that you were leading, the testimonies you were giving, going with the songs. But when the worship was going, did it make you thirsty for Jesus Christ? When you pray, are you thirsty for him? Do you talk to Jesus? Like, Jesus, I love you. Thank you for dying for me. Jesus, I need your help. Do you talk to him? If there's a thirst that you and I ought to have that should increase for me and you, it is our thirst for God. Our thirst for the things of God. Not for the things of the world, but for the things of God. To have that thirst for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To drink that water. What is the song that says, I'm trying to think, the cathedral sang it. Jesus said, I thirst, but then he became the living water for me. Bible says he's the living water. The woman at the well, he said, I'm going to give you water that you'll never thirst again. There's an evangelist lady over there, yes, and a well was dug at her village, and every day she goes to the well and preaches. She preaches Jesus as people come to pump water. She shares about the water of life, about Jesus Christ. Her name is Irene, and she was with us on this last trip again. But anyhow, hallelujah. The living water of Jesus Christ. And then the next one, where Jesus said, "It is finished," from the cross. Jesus said, "It is finished." Triumph. The price had been paid. The words, the victory from the cross. It had completed. Salvation made possible for you and for me. Jesus paid a debt that he didn't owe. We owed a debt he couldn't pay. But finally he said, "It's finished. What I came on earth to do is now done." I don't know if the people around him, they maybe didn't, like, what does he mean? What does he mean it's finished? What did he do? But he said, "It is finished. The work has been done. What I've come to do is now over." Triumphant. But the greatest triumph, I don't know if we can, I'll say that. The greatest triumph is yet to come. Hallelujah. But he said, "It is finished." Into the, and then the next, and then the next one, the final one. That reunion with the Father. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, thus he gave up the ghost. And there he died. My daddy, you many of you have been with loved ones. They drew their last breath. I don't understand exactly how everything works, but I believe it. But the Bible says to be absent from the body, Paul said, is to be present with the Lord. And there on the cross, Jesus finally, he's like, "This is now done. Into thy hands, Father," the Father who gave the Spirit, put it in him. He said, "Into your hands I commit my Spirit." And he gave the Spirit. The Spirit went back to the Father. When you and I die, over in Africa, when I share with them the gospel, because, you know, when it's a funeral, I was at a funeral there last week. It was a baby 3-year-old. It was, the Lord allows us to sponsor children to go take them from Uganda to India. Some of you have helped do that for about $6,000. And you fly a child from Uganda to India to have heart surgery because they can't do it in Uganda. These are children that unless they're helped because whole in heart and things, they're not going to make it. But we sent a little girl, Trinity, over there. And Trinity, they found out, had brain hemorrhaging. And so she died on the operating table. My heart was just broke because I had held that little child. And the mother had abandoned the child. So the foster mom had taken this child over there. I was trying to imagine the airplane ride back. We were helping with the casket. I said, "This little girl deserves an actual casket. Because over there, it's just a child. The quick burial for the poor is you just dig up some dirt, wrap them up, some kind of tree leaves, put them in, put the dirt on top. That's fine. It's done." I said, "No. We need to give a burial. And if you wait till I come, I would like to help and have a memorial service." What was so amazing, this is just the divine hand of God. The father of that little child, foster father, he had become a Christian. And his Muslim daddy chased him out of his house. And said, "You can't be. That's the way it is. You can't be here anymore. Leave the property, go elsewhere." Well, now when Trinity, the granddaughter, dies, they said she needs to be buried on the family plot. You got to bring her back home for burial. It's got to be on the plot. And I said, "If you wait, I get there." Well, this past Thursday, a week ago, I had the privilege, landed there on Wednesday night, and on Thursday, they kept the body for 6 days in the mortuary. And I said, "We'll take care of it." Got her a beautiful casket. And there on the very, this is amazing, on the very property where the Muslim grandpa and grandma live, the memorial service was held, Myron, where for 2.5 hours, several of us preached the Lord Jesus Christ. With all these Muslims sitting around. Little Trinity reached more people in her death than ever in her life.
And a number of them prayed to receive Jesus Christ. Did God see? God sees everything. He sees what's going to happen. It's going to take place. I'm not sure why I brought that in right now, but and even the son got up and he gave a testimony. His dad was sitting just a little bit away. And he gets up and he testifies how that my father had chased me away when I became a Christian. But we are here today lifting up Jesus Christ. This is amazing. Oh, hallelujah. The grandfather, glory to Jesus, the grandfather came. He came to me and afterward, and he was thankful and very humble in spirit that we were able to come. And another thing that brought a lot of them around, we said, we'll be able to pay for some of the food. Food brings people. But you know what? Jesus, he broke the food for the thousands, and then he shared. Whatever the platform. But then the reunion there, and then let's go on as we move on. They take Jesus Christ, and they take him from that cross. And I'm sure that all of the Sanhedrin, all the religious people were like, this is it. We'll never see him again. We're going to take him down. They'll put him in the tomb. And he's not going to be here anymore. That's the last we're going to see. Even the disciples, you know, it says, I think in Matthew, chapter 26, about verse 60-something. It says all the disciples even fled. They all ran away from Jesus, except Peter, you know, from afar off. He was watching when Jesus was on trial. None of them understood. This body will be destroyed, temple, and in 3 days it'll be resurrected. What are you saying, Jesus? Went over their heads. It would have gone over my head. They would understand. This is a first. But on Easter Sunday morning, we've been hearing it. That was on Friday, all the things we were talking about. But the message you used to hear, who was his name? Tony Campala. He used to have a message called, this is Friday, but Sunday's coming. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. But on Sunday morning, when Mary and the ladies went to the tomb, they were going to anoint the body of Jesus. And when they got there, and they didn't see him in the tomb, and they said, where have you put him? And they were so sad. Where did you put him? Just tell us, the gatekeeper, the gardener. Just tell us where you put him. What did they say? It says, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled the stone away. And then they went on when they asked him, where did you lay him? And then he said to them, no, he is not here, but he is what? Risen. He is what? Risen. He is risen. Glory! Come on, folks. Hallelujah. Jesus rose from the grave. He rose. And of course, as you and I know, many saw him and he came and he ended up in a room without opening the door. That's the Jesus, transformed life. And there he came. He had risen from the dead. Jesus made a way. He was the first fruits of them that slept, the scripture says. The grave was open and Jesus came out because what happened? The spirit was put back in Jesus. He became alive again. Friends, someday the Bible says those that sleep in Christ are going to rise first. When the trump of God is going to sound, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The dead in Christ are going to rise. I don't know how it's all going to work. But over there in Uganda, when they put all that cement on top of that tomb, I'm like, I don't know what you're going to, but you know what? She's going to come out of there. Woo, glory. They're going to come out because somehow that body, the Bible says that body is going to come up and we're going to get a brand new body, a resurrected body, an immortal body, a body that will never die, never pain, never sorrow. It's called heaven. Can the church say amen? But Jesus was the first one that he rose from the dead to make a way for you and for me because someday, whether it happens in the when the trump of God is going to sound, and during that way, or if we die in Christ, even my daddy, when we bury him, like one day I'll meet him, because I know when he drew his last breath, the spirit went out of him like it did with Jesus. The spirit went out. The spirit went back to be with the Father. And one day, there's going to be a resurrection. One day. What about us here this morning? Think about it here today. That he is not here, he's risen. Let me close on this. It's not written up here. I think it's in John 20, where the disciples, where John came.
excuse me, where the disciples had come and they saw Jesus and Thomas wasn't there. And so Thomas was saying, they said, we saw Jesus, we touched him. He was there. And he said, I won't believe it until I see him. And Jesus said, Thomas, go bring Thomas. So they went and they brought Thomas to Jesus. And Jesus said, Thomas, he took his hand. He said, Thomas, feel here, right there. Ah. And then he lifted up his garment and he said, now, put your hand right here. Because the Bible says on the cross, they put a spear in his side. And he said, after Jesus died, and the blood and water came out. That was the blood to wash us, wash our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That was the blood, not to cover, but to cleanse us. Not cover. The Old Testament covered sin. The New Testament, Jesus washes our sins away. And then Jesus said, here, put your hand here. And he put his hand here where the spear had gone. And he says, my Lord, my God, you are the Christ. That is you. You are the Son of God. What did Jesus say? Jesus said to him, Thomas, you believe because you touched where the nails were. You believe because you put your hand where the spear went. But blessed are those who have never seen, but they believe. That's me. If you're a Christian, that's you. I've never seen him. But Myron and I believe that he's the Christ, he's the Son of the living God that died on the cross and rose again for you and for me and is in heaven right now interceding for me. He's helping me right now because also Paul said, it's no longer I, but it's Christ that lives in me. Jesus lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Does he live in you today? Could we stand together? Just bow our heads to pray. The most important thing in life is to know that our names are written in the book of life, is to know that Christ lives in us, is to know that one day I can go to be with Jesus. And the Spirit that is in us, the Bible said that same Spirit lives in you that raised God from the dead. He will quicken our mortal bodies. Hallelujah. And as our heads are bowed this morning, if you're not sure to know that Jesus lives in you, where will I go when I die? Over in Uganda, there's so much fear about death, but they don't understand. The body you bury, but not the spirit. Nuh-uh. The spirit leaves the body. Do you know Jesus Christ? And if not, would you take a moment this morning and just pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Just God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, save me. Jesus, I need forgiveness for my sins. Jesus, come into my life. Come live in me, Jesus. That one day I can come live with you in heaven. Save me, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Just talk to him. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray over those that are praying right now, and you would just give them that blessed assurance. Would you increase their faith to believe? And just give them that hunger and that thirst for holiness, godliness, righteousness. And that we would help others to come to know you, Jesus, as we go along life's way. We'll give you all the glory and give you all the honor, give you all the praise in the name of Jesus. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt. I
Amen. You may be seated. Amen and amen. Thank you. And also thank the Lord for that message this morning, the wonderful good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He lived, he died, he rose again for our sins in our place. And we worship him, we praise him. And again, do you have a relationship with him? If you sense something in your heart this morning, you sense something in your spirit, you'd like to talk to somebody, feel free to come and talk to me, Pastor Greg, Pastor Titus. After the service, we'd love to talk with you more if you would choose to do that. All right, I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward.